And so if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. We're going to start with this. It says this. It says, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. And God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Man, I love this. There's such gravity within this passage right here. It says marriage should be honored by who? Is it marriage should be honored just between a husband and a wife? Is it marriage should be honored just by married people? No, it's marriage should be honored by all. It doesn't matter if you are married, if you're single, if you're divorced, if you're widowed, that a marriage should be honored by all. There is gravity, there is responsibility when it comes to marriage. Do you see that? And that I'm not just responsible and I shouldn't just honor my marriage, but I should honor all marriages. I should honor the marriage of my coworkers. I should honor the marriages of my family members, that we honor those things and we want to try to build up the other marriages around us. It's all of our responsibility to be able to honor marriages. And then also to be able to keep the marriage bed, amen on that one, I love the marriage bed, to be able to keep that marriage bed pure, to keep it pure. We need to be able to make the commitment today to stay pure. That is the challenge. That is where we're going today, is we want to be able to talk about that. The question that we really come across is that we see the world that we live in today, and this is not the reality for us. This is not what culture is teaching us to be able to keep the marriage bed pure. That's just reality. That's just reality. Man, the University of California, they did a study, and they did a study from 1998 to 2008, and they were looking at marriages, and they were looking at the relationship within marriages, and they found that in that time frame, in that decade, that the amount of people who cheated in their marriage doubled. It doubled in 10 years, because the culture that we're living in, man, we're getting pushed. We're getting pushed to be able to have temptation right in front of us. That's just all there is to it. Cosmopolitan. Man, I don't just do my study with the University of California. I go to all resources. I go to Cosmo. Cosmo found this. They found that the number one reason for breakups is this: cheating. Because somebody cheated in the relationship. That's the reality. That's where we live in. This is the culture that we are inside. And so we have to ask ourselves this question: why? Why are so many people, why do we find ourselves in relationships where we cheat, where we commit adultery, where there's sexual impurity or immorality in our life? The question that comes out is why? And I think that there are a lot of reasons that we could cover, but I want to just be able to highlight three of them this morning. I just want to be able to highlight three of them this morning, and I believe the first one is this. There are just more temptations today than there were yesterday. There's just so many more temptations than there were before. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, if I wanted to be able to look at pornography, I had to go find a buddy whose dad had a stash, and we found the stash, right? That's what we had to do. Let's just be honest about it. That's what you had to do. Now, how many of us have these little smartphones right in front of us? Two clicks of a button and you can find it right there. That's just the world that we live in. The temptations are there. Man, I got a good friend of mine. He was one of my groomsmen in my wedding. And he found himself in his marriage where he looked up an old girlfriend on Facebook. And one little message turned into a snowball effect, and he found himself in the middle of an affair. Was it Facebook's fault? No. But the temptations are just readily available for us. They're there. They're stronger than they've ever been. And here's the reality. Then it just snowballed for him. Because it didn't just start there. Then his mind really started to get warped. And he found, man, did you guys know that you can find a place to cheat on Craigslist? You can go on Craigslist. You can go buy a car on Craigslist, or you can go find a prostitute on Craigslist. The temptations are just right in front of us. There are websites that are completely devoted to cheating on your spouse. That's just the world that we live in, right? We have to understand that this is where we are. And so why do we see so many more people cheating? man, there's just more temptations. Just call it what it is. This isn't as fun as last week's message, is it? It's not, but I'm telling you, it's so important. Why is it another one? Why do we have other reasons why we see more people cheating? I believe another one is this, is that people are just getting married later in life. And I'm one of those. Man, I got married when I was 29 years old. And here's what happens. When you find yourself getting married later, it typically means that you're dating more people before you get married, right? Because you just have more time. And then when you're dating more people before you get married, a lot of times that means that you're doing things in a marriage, just in a dating relationship. Because the older that you get, you want to be able to practice marriage. You want to be able to do those things. And so you find yourself sleeping with another person, and then you're sleeping with them more, and then they're staying over the night. One night, you know, they're just there. And then the next thing you know, they got a toothbrush over at your house. And then the next thing you know, you got a full drawer over at their house. And what you're doing is you're practicing being married. You're playing marriage. We get married later, and so we see ourselves playing married. But then here's the problem, is that we say this. We say, man, you know what? I believe you're the one, but there were 17 before you. That's just the reality. That's where we live. And then when you find the person that you believe is your one, what you've done is you've practiced this. When the going gets tough, what do? You leave. Because that's what you've trained yourself to do. Because of all of those dating relationships, you've trained yourself to be able to leave. And so what you're doing is you're setting yourself up. You're setting yourself up for divorce. You're setting yourself up for your marriage to fail. That's just the reality of it, is that when we get married later in life, that we practice all of those things, and that's just a shame. And here's what I want you to know. This is our big takeaway. And single people, you need to be able to take this one so much. You got to be able to realize this one, is that you cannot build a life of purity on a foundation of sin. Come on, I got to say that again, because that's good. You need to write that bad boy down. It's on your talk notes. It's your big takeaway. You need to be able to tweet that. Do whatever you need to do to be able to get that in your brain right there. You cannot build a life of purity on a foundation of sin. You think, well, one day, but what you're doing is you're setting yourself for failure on that one day. You got to be able to start these things right now. What is the other reason? What are some other reasons why we see ourselves in this situation? You know what? After I just got this, it got so serious. I want you to know this. I want you to know that man, there is so much hope and freedom in Jesus Christ. There is so much hope and freedom in Jesus Christ. And the reality is this, is that when we give our life to Christ, that we become a new creature. And all of that piss, all of that past is gone. It's gone, and we are, if God puts it as far away from the east as from the west. Yeah, I did say, I said piss there, all right? Golly. It happens to be the first day that we actually were able to record the message too. I think we've got editing software back there. Oh my goodness. We're going to bring this back together. Number three, what's the other reason why? What's the other reason why that we see more cheating happening? I believe that there's such a sense of entitlement. There's such a sense of entitlement that we have in this world today. And here's what has happened to us, is that we have believed the lie of happiness. Well, you know what? I'm just not happy in my marriage, and I deserve to be happy. Who says that? Who said you deserve to be happy? Hey, even if we look at the Declaration of Independence, what does it say? It says the pursuit of happiness. It doesn't say that you deserve it. You didn't do anything to be able to deserve everything that you want. We live in a society where we think that, hey, you know what? Just do whatever makes you happy. God never called you to be happy. He called you to be holy. That's the reality that we live in, and we have bought into this lie. Well, you know what? If she just did this, then it would make me feel better. If he would be able to meet my needs, then I would be able to meet his. And we have such a sense of entitlement that it's all about us. And that's not the world that we live in. The world we live in is that we serve other people. Jesus Christ is the most important example of this. He says that I did not come to be served, but to serve. And if Jesus is the one who's going to be able to say that I'm going to serve those around us, what better example do we have? It's not all about us. It's about other people in this world. It's about your spouse more than it's about you. We have such a sense of entitlement that we've fallen into. Now, I want you to know this, is that we're not just going to talk about specifically about adultery today, but the reality is that's where God started. We see that in Scripture where he started in Hebrews chapter 13. That it says God is going to judge the adulterer. And so we need to be able to look at that this morning. And so the two areas of purity that we're going to look at today, we're going to start with the first one, and it's this, is outward purity. If you have your talk notes, you can write that down on there, outward purity. We need to be able to talk about this. This is such an important verse that we're going to talk about right now. Ephesians 5:3, it says this. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity. Not even a hint. Not a hint of sexual immorality or impurity. What's impurity? What kind of impurity is he talking about right here? He's not talking about, hey, you know what? I went to a restaurant and there's a little bit of dust inside of my glass of water, and so I need to send this back because it's not drinkable. No, what he's talking about impurity is that your glass is full of cyanide, that water is full of poison. That's what impurity is. It's full of poison, and we don't want even a hint of poison to be able to come into our marriage. It's you going to your favorite steakhouse, and then all of a sudden a cat jumps up on the table and has cat diarrhea on top of your steak. That's what impurity is. So next time you start thinking about bringing impurity into your marriage, I want you to think about cat diarrhea. That's what impurity is. You don't want anything to do with it. You don't even want a hint. Who wants a hint of cat diarrhea on their plate? You don't want to just put a little bit of it on there and say, you know what, I'm just going to keep it away. It's not touching my steak, so it's okay. It's saying don't even bring a hint of it into your marriage. That's what impurity is. But yet so often we just flirt with it a little bit, don't we? We bring it around because we don't see it that way. So let's play a little game. I'm going to play a little game with you guys right now. How many of you guys believe that that adultery is impurity? It's not trick questions. It's not there. Okay. All right. Good. You guys are doing pretty good. Okay. How many of you guys believe that that pornography is impurity? Okay. So now you're starting to get there. Okay. How many of you guys believe that dressing inappropriately is impurity? Well, now it's getting tough, right? How many of you guys believe that talking in a suggestive way to the person at your work is impurity? The next time you want to have a conversation with the person that you work with, I want you to think, I've just put cat diarrhea all over my marriage. I'm bringing that into my marriage. There is nothing worse in this world than Satan and cat diarrhea. Those are the worst things in this world, and don't bring them into your marriage. Shouldn't be a hint of it. That's what we're talking about today. It's so important for us to be able to do that, to go there. Proverbs 5:8 says this. And King Solomon is trying to teach his sons and telling his sons how important it is to be able to stay on the right way. And he says this, he says in Proverbs 5:8, he says, keep to the path far from her, the adulterous woman. Keep to the path far from her. Do not go near the door of her house. Don't even walk down the street where you know she is, because there's too much temptation that is right there. 1 Corinthians 6:8, I love the way that Paul says this. He says, flee from sexual immorality. Flee from it. Run away. Get away from it. He doesn't say flirt with it. He says flee from it. Everybody say flee. Flee. Don't flirt. We got to get away. Run away. When you see temptation there, understand this, that you are weak and you need to be able to run. Don't ask God for the strength to be able to stand up to temptation. Ask God for the strength to run away from temptation. Flee from it. Run away. Man, it is so important that we keep our bodies clean and pure. And yet, man, I want you to know this. If you're not a Christian here and you're sitting there saying, man, this is pretty extreme. It's my body. I can do with it as I want. I want you to know you're absolutely right. It is. But if you're a Christian, if you're a Christian and you believe in Jesus, man, you have sacrificed that. Your body is not your own anymore. It is Jesus Christ. And your body is a temple, and you need to be able to keep it pure. The Bible tells us that, man, all of the rest of the sins, man, they don't affect the body, but sexual immorality, It's a sin to your body. Be able to flee, run away from that. We've got to be able to run as far as we can. We've got to be able to stay pure. Jesus said it this way. He said this. He said in Matthew 18, 8 through 9, he said, if your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands and two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. He said, if your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. So is Jesus saying that we need to be able to gouge out our eye and cut off our arm? Is that what he is saying right there? I really hope not, because otherwise we're going to be having a lot of one-armed cyclops running around tomorrow. That's just the reality of it. But what he is saying is this, is that he's saying, man, there is gravity. There is responsibility, and understand how important it is. How important it is for you to be able to run away, get away from that temptation. It is important for us to understand how important it is. I want you to know, man, for me, this is just my process. These are some of the steps that I've taken in my life to be able to get away from temptation, to be able to separate myself from it, to flee from it. That's what I want to be able to do, is I want to be able to flee from it, okay? And so, man, the easy one that we have right here, I pointed this out earlier, man, are these phones. Man, these things are, they're awesome and dangerous at the exact same time. And so here's what I've done is that I've put this thing on lockdown. Is that I have it on the highest setting that I possibly can of restrictions, so that I can't even get on websites that would possibly would distract me, tempt me. And I'll tell you, and my wife is the one that has the password to it. I don't even know what the password is, because I don't want even the temptation to be there. And it's a pain in the rear end. It really is. Because there's a lot of things, like my buddy sent me an article about his church in Tennessee to read the article, and I couldn't even pull it up on my phone. And you think, well, that's ridiculous. Yeah, but it's so worth it. It's so worth it for me to be able to say, hey, you know what? I don't need to read your article, because I want to make sure that my marriage is pure. You see that? That might feel extreme to you, but man, it's important for me. The other one that I do is this, is I have accountability partner in my life. I have the guy in my life, and it's not my wife, man, the accountability partner. Don't put that pressure on your spouse to keep you accountable to your purity. I have an accountability in my partner in my life, and he asks me those tough questions. He asks me the tough questions. Hey, man, what have you been looking at lately? Hey, how's your thought life going on? And I tell you what, I have told him so many times, man, you have saved our marriage. I set up that accountability partner a long time ago before we were even married, and I believe that he is the reason why we have a successful marriage today. Because he has allowed himself, I've allowed myself to be honest, completely honest with him, and for him to be able to keep me accountable. It's huge. To be able to walk those steps is important. And now you might ask yourself, you're like, man, Pastor Darren, are you that weak that you need to be able to set that stuff up? On most days, no. No, I'm not. I don't need all of those boundaries set up. But there might be the one day. There might be that one day that I'm weak and the temptation comes knocking hard. And I want to be able to set those things up in my life well before that day comes. It's so important for us to be able to have outward purity and to be able to keep those things outside of ourselves, keep those things pure. Man, set up those boundaries so that you don't fall into that temptation, because it's so dangerous. It is so dangerous for us. Now, you know, we talked about a lot of these outward things, but the thing that we need to talk about right now is really the inward purity. And it's so important for us to understand inward purity, because outward purity means nothing without ourselves being pure. Without our inner self, our thought life, our heart to be pure. I'm telling you, it's so important. It starts here. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the boundaries. It doesn't matter the strategies that you have put yourself around. But if your heart is not in that place, it means nothing. King David, he asked this question. He said, Psalms 119:9, he said, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? How could he do it? Because it's so tough. Man, it was tough in David's day. How much more difficult is it for us? And he answers this question. He says, by living according to your word. By living according to God's word is how we really can do it. And he continues on in verse 10 and 11. He says, I seek you with all of my, what is it? Heart. I seek you with all of my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. And this is my favorite. It's my favorite verse in the entire Bible. Because I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Is that it all starts with our heart. It all comes down to what's on the inside. And how we're moving and how we're allowing God to move inside of our heart. In Proverbs 4:23, he says this. He says, you need to guard your heart. You need to guard it because everything that you do surrounded by your heart. Your life flows from your heart. Your heart is so important. And we've got to be able to live according to his word. We've hidden his word in our heart, inside of ourselves. God's word. That we read it, we meditate on it, we take it, and it doesn't just go from our brain, but it goes to our heart, so that it changes us from the inside out. We want to have purity in our life. We want to be able to stay pure. It starts and it ends with our heart. Matthew 5:28. Says this, he says, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery in his or her heart. That man, even the thoughts that we have, if we let them go rampant, man, it doesn't matter what our outward body is doing. If we let our thoughts go crazy, and that temptation that comes, it gives birth to sin. And then when we allow that sin to take over our life, it gives birth to death. It gives birth to a life separated from God. And it's not the life that he wanted for you. He wants to give you life, not death. It starts in our heart. The heart matters. It's a matter of the heart. Here's what I want you to know this morning too. Is that when you hear a message like this, it's really serious. We don't play around when it comes to purity. That you don't want to flirt with purity. You want to flee from impurity. And it's so important for us to understand that. And there's three ways you can respond to this. Because I know that each of us are in different places in our walk. And maybe you're in the middle of a relationship right now that you're like, man, this is too much. I'm feeling completely convicted right now. Or maybe you're sitting in a place you're like, man, I'm doing really good at this point. And I know that we're in different places and we need to be able to respond in different ways. And here's really the three ways that I believe you can respond to a message like this. The first one is this, is that you can rationalize it away. Is that you feel the Holy Spirit, you feel something inside of yourself, your conscience, whatever you want to call it. I call it the Holy Spirit speaking to you right now, convicting you. And you're saying things like this. If she would only do this, I wouldn't be in this position. She should have stayed off my computer in the first place. So she wouldn't have seen that stuff, and then we'd be fine. And you're trying to rationalize and become defensive about all of those things. And we rationalize the choices that we've made. Either that or we become very remorseful. And we do it in a way that guilt is just weighing down on us. You can't, and you say, I can't believe that this is me. This is my life. And I'm the worst person in the world. And you know what? The world would be better off if I was just gone. Because I'm such a bad person. But that's not the attitude that God wants you to have. He loves you. And here's what he wants from you. He wants you to repent. He wants you to be able to repent. When we say, you know what, God, I've fallen into ways. I've fallen into impurity. I've allowed my heart to become attacked. And I've allowed things to come into my heart that I don't want there. And instead of looking at yourself as a bad person, instead you get to look at yourself as a child of God, but you get to ask just for forgiveness. I'm sorry, Jesus. I'm sorry, God, that I've sinned against you. I'm sorry, God, that I've sinned against my spouse. I've sinned against myself. And Jesus tells us that he is faithful to forgive and to put all of those things away and to create in you a new creature, to renew your mind so that all of those thoughts that were there before can be gone and you can be able to worship him as a pure child of God. He wants us to be able to repent. To repent and turn from our ways. Repent and turn from the life I've been living. Repent and get away from impurity. And instead, I want to make a commitment to stay pure and holy to you, God. Stay pure and holy to you, and to my spouse, and to myself. To repent. I want to ask you to stand up. The past couple of weeks, what we've done is we've asked to make these commitments together with our spouse. That we've asked to make the commitments to seek God with our spouse. To seek God before we seek our future spouse. We've asked to make the commitment to fight fair in our relationship and for both of you to do that together and to have fun. But today, instead of us making a commitment with our spouse, it's important that we make the commitment individually. Because it starts with our heart. It starts with you. It starts with you. So we want to be able to say, okay, this is a commitment that I want to make. And it's important that it happens inside of my heart. So this morning, what I want to do is I don't want to make this about anybody else. And so I want to be able to block out all of those things, all of those distractions that might be around you. So I just want you to be able to just close your eyes. You're not worried about what your spouse is doing. You're worried about what God is doing in your heart right now. Man, how many of you guys right here in this room will be able to say, yes, I want to be able to stay pure. I want to be able to have a life completely devoted to God, and I want to be able to get rid of all that cat diarrhea that I brought into my marriage. I want to be able to get rid of all of that stuff, and I want to be able to make a commitment that I want to be able to stay pure. I want to be able to stay pure in my marriage. I want to be able to stay pure before God. I want to give my heart right now, Lord Jesus, just help me guard my heart. I want to be able to do that. Man, if that's you this morning, if that's you and you're saying, yes, I want to make that commitment right now from this day forward. Doesn't matter what the past was. It doesn't even matter what this morning might have been when you woke up in the middle of temptation. But from this day forward, from this point right now that you're saying, yes, God, I want to make that commitment to be able to stay pure. If that's you, I just wanted you to be able to acknowledge it. Just raise your hand up right now. I just want you to be able to raise your hand up right now and just be able to say, yes, I want to be able to stay pure. I make that commitment to stay pure in my marriage, to stay pure in my thoughts, in my heart. I want to make that commitment, and I want to pray for you right now because I know that this commitment is not easy. This commitment is hard. This commitment is a difficult one because nobody else can see what's going on inside of your heart except for you and God. And so I want to pray for you this morning. God, I want to pray right now for all those individuals that raised their hand. Lord Jesus, I want to pray that we will be able to stay strong in this commitment, that we will be able to stay pure before you, Lord Jesus, that we will be able to stay pure in our marriage, Lord God. I pray that you will be able to help us, give us the strength to flee from temptation, not to flirt with it, not to bring in cat diarrhea and poison into our marriage, Lord God, but we want to be able to stay pure and holy before you. God, we want to make this commitment to make our marriage everything that you want it to be, Lord Jesus. We make this commitment to you right now. Man, if you haven't put your hand down, you can put your hand down right now and to still stay in this attitude of prayer. I want you to still have this attitude of prayer. And our church around here, man, I want you to continue to pray as well, because I want to be able to ask this question. We want to give you a chance to be able to respond to Jesus right now and what you feel like he's speaking to you, and you're feeling a tugging in your heart. Remember, it starts with your heart, and you're feeling this tugging right now, and you're saying, you know, I don't know how to be able to make these commitments. I don't know how to be able to walk this way, because I've never had a relationship with Jesus. I've never had that before, and I don't understand what you're talking about with living to the principles that he has, because, man, you know what, I've never even believed in him before. But there's something going on inside of me. There's something going on that I don't completely understand. Jesus isn't asking you to completely understand him. He's just saying, hey, I'm knocking on the door of your heart. Just open it up, and you're going to see what happens. You don't have to completely understand right now. He's just asking you to be in a relationship with him. You don't understand. You don't understand the person that you get into a relationship right away. And that's what Jesus is asking you right now. Just wants a relationship with you. And man, if that's you right now, and you're just saying, yes, I want to say yes for the first time ever, I want to say yes. I've never said yes to Jesus before. I've never opened up that door. I've never felt that tugging and been able to say yes, I want to be able to do that. I want to give you a chance to respond to that right now. And if that's you, if you want to be able to say yes, I want a relationship with Jesus for the first time, I want you to just be able to raise your hand up right now. Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand and be able to say, okay. 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 Jesus loves you so much. He loves you so much. I want you to know that, man, there's celebration going on. There's rejoicing going on right now. Because you said yes. And he's been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for you to be able to say yes. Church, let's pray together. God, I just am so thankful. I'm so thankful for your love and for your ability to just see past all of our junk and all of the stuff that we bring. And you're just saying that I just love you so much, and I want to have a relationship with you. And God, I pray right now, I pray that your love will be known in a very tangible and very real way, Lord God. Lord, I pray right now, Lord Jesus, that God, that we will just know your love without a shadow of a doubt, that it doesn't matter all of the things that we try to bring into this world and the understanding, but God, we just know without a shadow of a doubt, beyond all of our understanding, that you are Lord and that you love us. God, we just thank you so much. We just thank you so much. And we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, would you just be able to shout out to God how good and how great he is? Man. People coming to know Jesus. How great is that? I love it. Woo! Amen.